It is a fact that as we pass through life, we need the Lord. It's not in man that walks to direct his steps. And many times people have tried it without the Lord, and many times we have proven that it's not doesn't end well to try a path without him. And so I acknowledge his need this morning and pray and ask you that you pray that the Lord will bless his word as we look into it today. I want to write some words here on the board. I ain't too good at this writing business. or the eraser. What I have written up here is three different expressions. One is a way. Other is the way. And then underneath it I have written an highway. Well, we want to think about some of those this morning by the help of the Lord. I'd like to for you to look with me over into the book of Proverbs, the 14th chapter. I think about the way, and there are people here that have lived considerable more years than I have. I've lived a few myself. In my few years that I've lived, I can already tell you that I have seen people taking paths or results of a direction that as a nation has taken that I don't like the direction that is taken or where they're headed as a trajectory to a path. Now, recently I was talking to a man up in our area who was told me he was a businessman and he was wanting to hire, I think, around 20 people, expanding his business. And he brought people, said, I want you to come and put in your application and we're wanting to hire some people. So had 80 applicants. Well, they have a little deal on this application form that you have to do a drug test. He was wanting to hire about 20 people. Of the 80 applicants, he had under 5 that passed the drug test. What comment does that tell you? My mouth dropped open. What that tells me is that somewhere the path that we have chosen as a group of people nationally is not a good path. There ought to be something, there ought to be alarm bells start ringing in people's heads that something, you heard the X generation and the baby boomer generation and we go on down, we have what we call now the millennials. And I want to tell you, I appreciate the young folks that we have around the Church of God. I want to tell you, the competition out there is not too... it's not too strong for your generation. You have a real advantage today. If you're interested in doing things right, to be honest, to know how to show up on job on time, to do your best, and to stay off of drugs, just be godly people, you have a huge advantage. And I want to encourage you to see the value of the godly way. Not only see the value, but embrace it and love it. But yet we look at changes, and sometimes those who have been seasoned and went over the way and tried some ways, have not tried some ways to say differently, have proven the ways to be good, proven what's right. When we see younger folks, we have concerns. We want our children to do right. We want them to have good ideas and good moral boundaries and have some... Well, I pray, Lord, help our children to have a love for you. Help them to have a tender heart. That was one of my great prayers when I was raising my children. Lord, help my children to have tender heart. That was really a great prayer of mine. I want my children to be a tender heart. I want them to be tender toward you. To me, the Lord can deal with tenderness and honesty. So help my children, Lord. I want them. And I encourage you young folks today, you young parents, as you're raising your children, beg God, help my children to be tender-hearted and to give them an honest heart. And you know, this is something I heard from the Lord. When my prayers was going up, He said, then you show them what that means. Parents, there's a big challenge for you today. Show them the tenderness. Let them know that coming to services means something to you. Service to God is valuable. This is something that is very important to me, and that you are setting guide marks in their life. You are giving them something that's extremely valuable. I want to encourage us to let the Lord work in us to the point that our children will know what it means to be tender-hearted and have a real love for God. Well, let's look over here in Proverbs. Before we get there, I'm sorry. Paths end somewhere. They're going somewhere. I have a path. Now, you ever go out in the morning for a walk? I'm going for a walk. So where are you going? For a walk. No place in. I'm just going. I'm walking. I'm going. Where are you going? Nowhere. I'm walking. That is without almost purpose. Where am I going? I'm just headed. But when I think about the way, it's more with purpose. When I started from my house to come down here to La Ronja the other day, it wouldn't have done for me to head north. I'd still been traveling, not made it here yet. It's a long ways. But the path is with purpose and choice. And I decided to go. And as I went, I looked at my GPS. Sometimes those things are good, and sometimes they're not. But it said that there's another path that'll save you almost 20 minutes. I thought, I'm going to try that. Well, headed off down this other path, and I was going along. I was unfamiliar territory to me. And we have a little thing on my van that it tells me what direction I was going. Unfamiliar roads, and then we took a wind this way and pretty soon I wasn't sure exactly which direction I was going. You know what I did? I checked the compass. I wanted to make sure that if I kept seeing north on that compass, I knew I was on the wrong road. I want to use that to encourage us to check where we're headed. If we are intending to go to heaven, we're going to have to mean to do it, number one. Number two, we need to keep checking where I'm headed. Yes. Is it true? Yes. Are these decisions that I'm making, is what I'm allowing in my life? What is being expressed out of my heart? Is this the direction? Is this does this blend with heavenly or godly characteristics? Is my clothing, does it express godliness? This is the reason, saints, we have standards. It's not because that we decided this is the best way to do it. It's that relationships with God caused a response from my heart that wanted to have an expression of godliness on all parts of my life. Holy matrimony. You know what that is? That means our wedding should express holiness. That means the way I conduct myself in my marriage should express godliness. I want to encourage us in all of our expressions of our life that it might have holiness, the bells that are on the horses. That's our scripture over in the Old Testament. That it would express, it would ring out to all who see or hear. These people are godly people. Their life is headed this direction. And they themselves may not have chosen to go there, but they know in their heart those people have some value to them. I can tell they're godly people. They want to serve the Lord. Trajectory. We need to honestly look into our future and the direction we're going and ask ourselves and honestly assess and be willing to accept if it's not going the right direction. Say, Lord, I want to change. Was it David that said, "Search me, O Lord"? That ought to be a great, honest cry of our heart every day. Lord, look at me. Change me, mold me, shape me. All right, the reason why I think we need to do that is because there are ways that sometimes can almost seem right to my human, carnal, tainted mind. And let's look over here into Proverbs, the 14th chapter. It says that here in the 12th verse, there is a way which seemeth right. I don't think that when Eve began to look at the fruit that was before her, I don't think it looked ugly. I don't think it looked poisonous. I don't think it had horns growing out of it. I don't think there was these alarm bells that it rang and said, if you get within 10 feet of me, warning sign, you know, death approaching. It didn't say that. But it seemed appealing. This is why that we need the safety of a relationship, a real relationship with God. Because it's not in man that walks to be able to direct his steps well. We need the Lord. Not only that do we need the Lord, but you know the Lord wants to lead us. He described his son, the shepherd of the flock. He wants to take us and lead us. But there are ways that seem appealing. And if we allow the carnality of our heart to rise and get so appealing, what was it that happened in Eve's eyes as she began to see the appealing nature of this? Was that of the spirit that was drawing her? Or was that the flesh that was warring against the spirit? And she got drawn away of her own lust and she began to eat and it began to produce fruit. And the fruit was a terrible fruit that we're still dealing with today. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I want to skip now to the 14th verse. It says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Now, ways, you see, he's decided paths that was pleasant to him. But he's a backslider in heart. Backslider, we know what that is. It's somebody that one time was headed the right direction, but he began to turn around. And we call that backsliding. We've seen that happen. We worry. We pray. When we see people come and they get a hold of the things of the Lord to get saved, and then you really begin to start praying, Lord, help them. Keep them. Keep our young folks or sometimes older people that come to the altar. I said, Lord, help them. Help them to stay faithful. Help them stay true. And then we watch. And we call them up on the phone and say, how you doing? Just thinking about you today. And are you still encouraged? Oh, yes, brother. I've got a brother now that he got saved. Older man. I was so glad when he got saved. I still receive a text just every little bit from him. Telling me a scripture that he's been reading. Or he just said the other day, I thank the Lord for such a beautiful morning. Oh, it's the day of the Lord. And I say, oh, thank the Lord. And I want to encourage that. I keep hearing that. You know, I would start worrying if that kind of quit and he started cooling off. Because I think he was starting to backslide. You see, starting to retreat. But then, this, not just backslider, but this has got down inside a man's heart. That's a little different level. You see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, but if somewhere down in here, I have not only started to draw back, but inside my heart it's become corrupted. It's a different level, you see. I have received some hurts. Oh, dear saints, dear ones. You know, it's so easy to start feeling offended to one another. And I preach this often, different places I go. I preach it at home because I know what the devil will try to do. He'll try to point out to you every one of my faults, and I've got them. And you know what he'll try to do? He'll try to point out to me every one of your faults, and you've got them. And you know what? Well, he'll try to cause that to get under my skin, and that he'll get a little... And all of your little ways that are frustrating to me, it will get expanded in my mind. And next time I come to services, I'll have a little bit of problem. Something growing in here, you see. And it almost seems right for me to allow that to grow. It seemed right. But something is starting to get corrupted in my heart. And if I let that go, it'll be infectious to the point that it will completely separate me. And it will cause congregations to have all kinds of trouble. But not just congregations have trouble. It starts the trouble in me. My heart's got a problem. Backsliding in heart. And that will continue unless we deal with it and bring it to the Lord and get some victories over it, which God wants us to do. Which God also has victory for us. Oh, listen. That song we sang a while ago, that's a wonderful song. Must I, in sinful bondage to be, deprived of peace? No, I see something better. In the promise I can see the blood of Jesus cleanseth. And there is a great hope that we all have. We can bring these things to the Lord and unload it at His feet and get some real victories in our heart and our life. Now, I want to encourage us not to allow all these things to grow in our heart, because when that is finished, when it brings forth its fruit, it's more than just me feeling bad at you. It ends up separating us not only from each other, but from God. And brings us to a place that we hardly can find a way back because my heart's corrupt. I've shut off avenues. I've burned bridges. Be very careful. Lord, help us to not allow the devil to get in places like that. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Lord, help us to not do that. It'd be so easy for us to give over to our own ways. We can talk more about the rest. I don't want to do that right now. I want to go over into Jeremiah, to the sixth chapter of Jeremiah. Talk about some more ways here again. Some counsel that the Lord has to give us. Again, to honestly assess the path that I am on today, I'd like for us to do that. I would hope... My mother told me one time, she said, Ivan, you say things so emphatically. It's not that you're wrong, it's just hard to receive because of how hard you... I don't want that to be... I want to somehow convey to those that of a congregation in my family, I want them to know I really love them. And I want you to know that I... So if I'm saying things that come across a little harder, emphatically, I don't want it just to be emphatic. I want love to come across with it. I want you to know that I want to go to heaven with you. And I want to enjoy serving the Lord while we're here together. And I want us to be victorious in our life. And in this scripture, the Lord says, think about our path. In the sixth chapter and the 16th verse, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. Why? You know, there comes sometimes crossroads and paths. And you don't really know which way to go. It's all right. But the time when you don't know which way to go is not the time to run ahead. Stop. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Over in Ecclesiastes, I believe it's the first chapter, somewhere down it was talking, no, it was the Songs of Solomon, I believe. It was talking about, if thou knowest not, O fairest. You have that? When anybody has that real quick, you might read that. I went the wrong direction. That's what I'm referring to. Now listen to this for a little bit. I believe this is a story that has some meaning for us today. If you're in that crossroads and you're not sure exactly which way to go, if you've got some questions in your mind, what should I do here, Lord? And I know the appeal, sometimes it'll come to my mind. There's things that would almost seem right to do, but I'm confused in my mind. I really love the Lord. I want to serve Him. Well, let me tell you, it's good for us to lift up our eyes and say, Lord, where have You led those before me? It's okay. There have been more than once I've looked at the dear old faithful saints that's went before me and seen the results in their life. I said, Lord, I don't understand why they did some of these things. Right now, I don't understand it. But I know this much. The path that they took led them right. And I value that. I value that very much. And so there were times in my younger walk with the Lord, and still if I come to places of unknown, I need to wait on the Lord. And this scripture here says, if you don't know, lead. How does that? Let me go back over here. If thou knowest not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way by the footsteps of the flock. Those who have already went before you, there's a safe path, there's a safe direction that the Lord has led His people. Continue on in that way. And I want to tell you, I will tell you, that as we continue on in that way, many times the questions naturally get answered in our walk with the Lord. And it's confirmed to our mind. But if you don't write, if right now there's some confusion going on, I want to tell you, God's not the author of that. He wants to lead you in a playing path. But sometimes we're not in the place to be able to receive His explanation right now. But you follow on down the path that the rest of the good old saints have been following. Just go right on down that path. And as you do that, I believe the Lord will help it to become clear to your mind. Because He's done that for me. And He said, raise your children there. Your children, I said here, feed thy kids by the shepherd's tent. Oh, dear ones, the shepherd's tent is a place of safety. The shepherd's tent is a place where He brings us and gathers us around His feet. He can answer some questions there. If you don't know, there's safety in following the path that the Lord has always led others. It's been tried. All right. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. Observe, honestly assess. Don't mix it with the carnality of my heart. Don't desire, don't cast an eye over to this other tree that has the pretty fruit on it. Say, Lord, I know. Where dost thou, dear shepherd, resort with thy sheep? I want to go this way, Lord. I want to follow you. And right now, there's these other things that's calling to me. And we are humans, and we deal with the world of temptation. That doesn't mean we have to fall to it, though. And that's what I want to talk to us about. I want us all to be victorious. I don't want to see the damage that comes with going down into a path that has traps and snares. And oh, we've all seen that. And I want to especially, oh, you young folks, as you begin to build your life, I want you to be successful. I really want you to be able to raise your children and have peace in your home. I want to see your marriages flourish. I want to see sweetness of godliness in your life. And it's going to take all of us, not just the husband. He's got a great responsibility in that. But it's not just the husband. The wife has that too. It takes two to make a marriage. Oh, but I want to tell us that there is place of direction, place of hope, place of healing, even for damaged marriages. There's places in there. If you get two people to come together and really want to serve the Lord, I want to tell you there's some real hope in that. And I know that we can't always make somebody else do what is right, but we can do what's right. And as we do what's right, there's still blessings that goes along with that. I want to encourage you, all of us today, follow this path? Stand in the way. Assess it. Is the direction that I'm going or where my heart is going out to, run that trajectory out. Where is it going to land? Where am I headed? Is this, am I still going the direction I want to end? Am I headed for heaven? Will this path that I've, the attitudes that's building in my heart, for what is going to be the end of it? If we have some anger, some hurt feelings, some things that I'm nourishing, and if I'm feeding those things in my heart, it's going to have a result. And so I encourage us and caution us not to allow things to build up in our life that would end us in the wrong place. So stand in the ways and see. Ecclesiastes. There's a verse that says, the wise man's eyes are in his head. Well, I submit to you too that also the fool man's eyes are in his head. That scripture is not talking about the location of the eyes. It's talking about what you do. The wise man, you know what our eyes are meant to be? To see things. Sometimes afar off. Stand in the way and see. Look, where am I headed? Stand in the way and be like the wise man that didn't close his eyes and say, I think I can do it different. I know other people have made shipwreck going this path, but I think I can get around the rocks. You're being a fool. That's not being wise. The wise man opened up his eyes and looked and assessed and said, no, that's not good. I'll turn. Stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Oh, old paths. Why should I ask for old paths? Is it the antique value of them, or is it that they've just been around so long that we've just kind of got attached to them? And well, perhaps there's some value into it. I appreciate the paths that have been proven and tried, and maybe that's why they're so wonderful, the old paths. Why are they established? Why are they still here? Why? Because they have been proven. It's more than just an old path. It's been a proven path. There's some value to it because it works. So there's some spiritual actions. There's some spiritual directions that God would invite us to come down. He says, stand, the Lord says. Thus saith the Lord. Stand. See. Then he said, ask for the paths that have been true and faithful and has worked for all those who went before you. When we talk about scriptures like this, sometimes we allude to it and hope that people will get the message. And I'm not for pointing out things sometimes very strongly. I really want you to fall in love with the Lord and the Lord just call forth righteousness in your life. That's really the only way it's ultimately going to work. But in honesty, sometimes ministers that the Lord has given some understanding, and I'm not saying that we're necessarily above everybody else, but sometimes God calls each one of us to places of labor in His field. You've got your place. Sometimes the Lord gives a minister a certain place that he needs to exercise. And when sometimes we see things that have been coming afar off, we say, this path is not good. And we would love to sometimes just call it out and tell you, brother, you need to start changing this because this is not... And many times that's not the thing that the Lord calls us to do here behind the pulpit. But I want to encourage you today. Be careful that the changes that are coming on in our lives, that those changes are godly changes.
Because I know that if we're not purposefully going down a path of godliness, we will meander down a path that's not godly. And it will have bad results. I'm being vague, but I'm asking you and I to fall in love with the Lord enough that this path, I purposely take the path of righteousness. Stand. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way, see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk in that path. Listen to the rest of this. Ye shall find rest to your souls. Isn't that what we want? Surely so. There's nothing better than to be able to just have a conscience that's clear and know all is well. And as I get older, I have a little more trouble sleeping anyway, but I want to tell you what, there's nothing better than to be able to rest well knowing that your conscience is clear. Nothing better. I'd hate to have a conscience that's giving me trouble and that's not letting me sleep. But God would have us have a clarity, a peace, a rest to our souls. In the 17th verse, He said, I've set watchmen over you, saying, hearken. Again, I want to encourage you, don't out of hand, just lightly dismiss. If brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so brings out something that might cut a little bit across where I am, be careful how we just say, that's just old brother so-and-so saying that. Be careful. I'd encourage us to take ourselves honestly to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know right now, but I want to stand right here. And then begin to look, where have you led your people? Where have you led those who have made success out of their Christian walk? How have they conducted themselves? Oh, I tell you, there's godly people that have left tremendous marks on my life. One man, I'm sure he didn't know how much of a mark, but when I think of Brother Jim White out in West Virginia and the things that he battled spiritually and the victories that he gained, those things mean tremendous. They have tremendous meaning to me. And for him, I saw him as an humble man. He fought for humility. He fought for godliness. And he, down toward the end of his life, Brother Marty told me there was a message went forth on some of the lines that I would have thought him to be a giant in. Message went forth and old Brother White goes to the altar. Needing some more of it, you see. Folks, that's the path that the old saints have trod. They did battle. They gained their victories. And that's a path I want to look for. Where is it, Lord? Well, He's got a whole host of witnesses all around us. It's step before us. Look at what they've done and how they've gotten the victories. We miss people after they've gone. We miss, there used to be a seat right over here filled. And I don't mean to make you feel any worse this morning. I miss those that used to fill these seats. And I'm sorry, Purvis family, for your loss. But he's gained heaven. Yeah. I've been with Brother Purvis when he went to the altar in his old age. And I go up there to pray with him and I say, Lord, what do I have to offer this dear old faithful saint? I didn't have anything but some words of courage and prayer, pray with them. But they were doing spiritual battle. They intended to go to heaven. My pastor that had tremendous impact on my life. Later on, one time I saw him go to the altar of prayer and I was invited to come down pray with him, and I felt so completely inadequate to say anything because these people were giants. in my eyes. They blaze trails that are right for you and I. And I want to encourage us, look at those who have done it right. And it's not bad for us when we're struggling someplace in our life. It's not wrong for us to find ourselves at an altar of prayer. I'm going to heaven, and I can't allow anything to beat me. I can't afford to allow anything. And I've watched the paths that these dear old saints have traveled. I've seen how the devil will try to get things growing in their minds, and they come and take it to the Lord. This is the path that the sheep have trod. This is where the shepherd's tent is. This is the way that will work for us and our generation. And we have a lot of changes around us. There's a lot of the world around us, society around us is going a long ways, the wrong way. And the divide between godly men and the worldly men is going to grow wider as it goes. And they're not going to understand the reasons why we do some of the things we do. But I want to tell you, anchor yourself in God. Anchor yourself in His love. Let it mean something to you and do battle for our souls. Stand in that way. Look for those good old faithful paths. Walk in them. You'll have some peace, some rest to your soul. I'd like to look over in Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah, the 35th chapter. Well, having a hard time getting a turn. Isaiah 35 and down here at the 8th verse in highway. You know, when you build a highway, this is more than just a regular way. There's a lot of cow paths around that I've went down. I've went through a lot of. I live on a gravel road, but it's different than I-40. I-10, you know, I've went through I-10 between here and Lafayette. And you're going to go over some areas that you'd be hard put to go through there if it wasn't a highway. Up on stilts, miles of it. They put down some real support system underneath that thing. It holds up all this weight, plus everybody who wants to travel over it. They didn't do that by accident. They intended to build something above the marsh. And this scripture says, "And highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness." It's above the marshland. It's above all the confusion of this world. And the Lord calls us and invites us to come on it. The Lord has made a way for you and I. We don't have to be drugged down into the things of this world. There is a place that He calls us up higher. Don't need to stay down there in all that confusion. I want to tell you, you've come to my house, especially in the summertime, and if you drive to my house, you're going to leave with some dust on your vehicle because I live on a dusty old gravel road. You're going to travel at least 2.25 miles before you can get to pavement. And when you leave, if you're a stickler for a clean car, you're going to have a little pride tumble before you get back to the highway because you're going to have dust all over you. But not so on this highway of holiness. It's above all that. It's above. The Lord has a way that He calls us to. That's not down in the confusion of mind. Now, He'll help us in that. If we have confusion, the Lord calls us somewhere outside of the confusion. He calls us to another plane, to another area of stability in our life. It doesn't mean if you're going through confusion today that you've backslidden. If your heart, you're interested in serving the Lord wants to help you with the confusion of our mind. He has help for that. We are humans and we're going to have some of these things we go through. People, there are times that in my own life, I'm going to tell you, I've went through times of depression. You ever that? Maybe you haven't been like that, but I have in my own life. I've had times that I was in deep trouble, and you bring that to the Lord. Do you know the Lord can help with that? I don't want you to feel crushed by those feelings, but I want you to feel hopeful. There's ways that the Lord wants to develop and work in a path. Did you know to get down here? I didn't start and decide after 20 minutes, well, I'm not there yet. I guess I can't go. If I had decided after 2 hours traveling to come down here, said, I'm not there yet, so I guess it's... Yeah, I never got here. As we head toward wholeness and healing in Christ, don't decide that it's going to come with a snap of a finger. This is a path that we travel. And it shines more and more to the perfect day. There's a path that we go. It has nothing to do with whether I live holy or not. That, well, yes, it's a wet path of holiness. But it's a path of progression in holiness and righteousness and wholeness. Healing of our mind and body and spirit and emotions. The Lord would like to reveal to us places. Sometimes we carry things within our own spirit that causes weight to come upon us. And the Lord would work with us and try to dig down until He can reveal to us this area that I have carried too long. And He says, child, this is the seed that is causing all this other turmoil in your life. And asking us now to turn it loose. Give it to Me. Don't have to carry that any longer. The Lord would love to help us with all these areas of our life. You see, this is a wonderful path. Wonderful path that He would like to take us on. And highway shall be there. And a way, it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those, the traveling men, wayfaring men, no fools. I don't know. I think one aspect of this is that you don't have to be a genius to walk with the Lord. You just have to love Him. Love Him with all your heart. And you'll do fine. Another thing, way to look at this, is that there are people who will look at you as saying, they'll say, why do those people, why won't thou... They let themselves do some run to the excesses of the world. Why won't they? That just doesn't make sense. Why do they keep talking about the cross? That makes the cross as foolishness to the world. But I'm a traveler, you see. This isn't where my home. I'm passing on. I declare, and God wants us to declare as we travel through this world, that I'm looking for a different place. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And that's where God wants us to keep our focus. On tomorrow and on eternity. And make decisions in view of eternity. Very serious. The wayfaring man shall not err. In that way. You don't need to. Just love the Lord. It's really simple. Love the Lord with all your heart. And all your soul. And all your mind. Just invest all in Him. And you don't really have to worry about all the other little things. Just go down the pathway that the Lord's been leading on all His people. Love Him with all your heart. He'll lead you right on. And He'll take you to heaven. With joy in your heart. All right. I'd like to also turn over into Isaiah 62. to read here. Excuse me. Well, I don't think... Yes. I was looking at 61. That's why it doesn't look well. Didn't look right. And 10. Yes. 10 of 62. Go through the gates. Oh, I invite us all. If you haven't experienced the love of God, if you haven't experienced salvation, the forgiveness of sin, I want to invite you to come through the gate. Oh, I don't know how. I would love to help you see and feel what it's like just to step right on in there where God is. Feel His forgiveness and the cleansing. Oh, the weight that rolls off your shoulders. Come on in the gate. He says here, go through the gates. I know that there's some other application of that verse, but may the Lord help us. Let's just go through where the Lord is. Enter in to His courts. Enter in right where you prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Now, what are you saying here? Talked about some stones here later on too in this verse. Gather out the stones. Lift up the standard. Go through the gates now. And as you progress in this walk with the Lord, prepare ye the way. Oh, again, I'll refer back to how in my own walk and I was interested. I want my children. I want them to serve the Lord. It's very important to me. And so, when I carried a concern for my children as I was raising them, and when I would go to prayer seeking the Lord for guidance, the Lord most of the time was working with me. When I was on my knees, He said, "Hey, I see your desire for your children." He said, "But the best way I can help your children is to work with you." So He said, "Prepare. You want them to walk in this way, you prepare." We've got a responsibility to each other, dear ones. I want you to be able to make a success out of your walk with the Lord. So when I am praying about you and for you, the Lord's saying, you show them what it's like. Prepare the way. Go before them. Help them to see how sweet it is. Again, I've been reprimanded a time or two. For I have made a little bit of apology sometimes. I don't mean to make a scene while we're singing, because a lot of times when we're singing, these songs mean a lot to me, and those words mean more to me. And so there've been a few times I've said I'm sorry if you, and I've had more than one person come to me and say, please don't be sorry for that. And I encourage you. In fact, one young man yesterday said, "I got a bone to pick with you." And I said, "Oh, okay, I'm sorry." What? He said, "I don't want to hear you say, make excuses for you enjoying those songs." So I want to encourage us to show each other how valuable these things are. No, you don't always have to do it like Brother Ivan does it, but let your heart show forth the joy of the Lord. Let your children see it. Let your brother see it. You know it's infectious. If I come to you and everything that's on my heart is the bitterness of life and the things that are going wrong, and I begin to share that, you know what's going to happen? We're going to have a hard time having the joy of the Lord. But if it means something to me, and I come to you and... I had a fellow tell me the other day, he called me and we... discussing some things, and I said something about how the Lord helps us and helps works on our attitudes. And he said, "Oh my," he said, "oh," he said, "that goes all over me." He said, "just the other day," he said, "I was driving a truck," and he said, "those DOT people, they stop me every now and then, and they wanted to inspect my truck." And he said, "I got pulled into this station, and he said, I went in there and showed him the papers, and he said, oh, we get him about every week. He did let him go, and he said, I was feeling pretty good, and thought, they admitted they've kind of been on my case. So he went out there and got in there and was kind of chuckling that I kind of got off easy this time, and put his paperwork up, and he heard a knock on his window. And it was a different highway patrolman even. He said, I want to do an inspection on your truck. He said, I was just in there. I said, I want to do an inspection on your truck. And he said, it wasn't pleasure that came up in his heart. It wasn't good feelings. It was some things that was really stirring. I thought, oh my, I see how you could feel that way. But he said, I started, the Lord came in there and started dealing with him about the things of stir. And as I started praying, he said, it wasn't long till a different feeling came over him. He said, all that turmoil that was going on just calmed down. He said, I turned to that man with a smile on my face, handed him all my paperwork, walked around there. He said, when he got through, him and that man was talking about things of the Lord. You know what that is? That's victory. That's victory. Attitudes. Oh, I told him, I said, I haven't heard a better testimony in a long time. That's where God wants to work. Right down in those areas of our heart. You know, that man could have got an earful of a surly man. I'm tired of you guys dealing with me. I'm tired. You're always on my case. But you know what? That patrolman went off with a very good feeling about this man. He was convinced he dealt with a Christian. It touched him in his heart. You see? That's what the Lord wants to do for us. Go through the gates. Prepare a way. Show them something different. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Get some of the stones. What are these stones? You ever stub your toe on something? Something's in the way. As we're walking along this path, I don't want to leave a stumbling block for you, brother. And that's my job. There's some stones sometimes that I can leave a smooth path for you to follow. I can beautify. I can make it seem attractive, or I can make it a stumbling block. God help us. He said, go through those gates. You do some work, and you go as you're going along, you pick up a rock in the way. You get it out of the way. Let the Lord deal with us on the issues of our life. And by doing so, we're going to encourage and bless our brothers and sisters that's watching what we're doing. Cast up, gather out, lift up a standard for the people. I think the Lord would like to help us all do that. Again, it's not a carnal standard. If it's that, if it's just a set of rules and regulations, I'm not interested in that, but I am interested in what God requires of us. I am interested in what He pulls from my heart out of a response of love for Him. I'm interested in that. Twelfth verse says, they shall call them the holy people. What do you think about that? Don't you want to be recognized by the observers around us? Other people around us, and when they look at us, wouldn't you like to be called? Those are the holy people. Yeah. This is what God said would be the description of His people back in Isaiah's day. Surely He can do that for us today, can He not? Yes, He can. People observe how we conduct our lives, that they would go away saying, oh, those are good people. They're godly. We see God written all over them. Oh, Lord, the Lord calls us to this way. It's not just a normal little cow path. This is the holy way. and those people on it. It's a highway, and the people on it are considered a holy people. The redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out. A city not forsaken. The Lord's taking care of us, dear ones. He's looking well over you and I. We turn our hearts to Him. All right. I'm sorry, we've got just a little bit more, and we'll try to end here over in Proverbs, the fourth chapter. Well, don't have time to read all this, but I really enjoyed the verses down, well, most of this chapter, but down from 11 on down. 11th verse says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. Lord, help us to pursue after the path of wisdom. The Lord wants to teach us that. 14th verse says, enter not into the path of the wicked. And we all have that choice. We can enter into that path, or we can choose to avoid that path. Here's the counsel. Stay away from those things that are defiling. Oh, young folks, don't mix that ingredient into your life. Stay away from the defilements of this world. Walk a wide circle around it. Don't allow it to be part of our heart and our life. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it. That's found in the 15th verse. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away. 18th verse, the path of the just is as a shining light. Don't we want to be on this path? Path of just is a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. That's what God wants to do for us. Make it better and better as we go. Until the perfect day. You see, that it's what He's got in mind for every one of us. He wants to perfect that concerns us. He wants to make it better and better as we go. Yield ourselves to that hand, loving hand of God. But the way of the wicked isn't like that. It heads toward darkness and trouble. They don't know what they're stumbling at even. Oh, I've seen. There's a man I've been working with for a while, and I've come to the point I know I can't motivate him. He's got to be moved, motivated. He's got to desire to be different. There have been times that he said he was. I've seen the tears run down his face. I've heard him, and we talk about, but there's always this place that he reserves in his heart that he's not willing to say those alcohol and drugs are just completely evil, and you know, there's I told him, Bo, you're going to have to turn your back on it. Turn your back on it. You're done. There's no place. Well, I quit spending very much time with him because I don't think it was being beneficial. But I prayed for him. I still do. Got a call here a while back. Phone rang. Man on the other end was almost didn't recognize the voice for a while. He was saying strange things. He was definitely under the influence. I was worried. I'm still worried for his life. You see, but he's always blaming something else. He didn't know what he's done. He's walking in darkness. We've got to honestly confront the things. Don't make excuses. When we come to the Lord, repentance doesn't work well if I repent halfway. We've got to forgive, forsake. We've got to turn around. We've got to give it all to the Lord. And don't think salvation is going to work in your life unless you're willing to bring it all and turn from wicked ways. All right, well, let's go here to the 26th verse then. Well, no, let's start with the 23rd. Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away From thee a froward mouth, perverse lips put far from thee. These are choices the Lord wants us to make, that we can make. Let thine eyelids look right on, and let thy eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Again, this is talking about being honest with what you see. Set your face the right direction and don't turn from it. Recognize that these other paths that are available aren't good. But I'm not going to allow the temptation to draw me aside. I'm going to look straight forward. I'm not going to turn to the right hand nor to the left. Ponder the path of your feet. Look at it. That means stop long enough and think about it again. Employ honesty, radical honesty in our life. Don't make excuses. Don't say, well, Brother Dan mentioned in part of his discourse last night, Jonah. And Jonah got very self-righteous and he sat there and he was expecting the Lord to do what He told the Ninevites that the Lord was going to do. And you remember at one point the Lord came to deal with Jonah. And Jonah was angry. And the Lord said, Jonah, do you do well to be angry? It was an extremely arrogant position to turn to the Lord and say, yes, I do well. It's a terrible place to be in. But it's what he responded, you see. Well, ponder the path of your feet. We don't do well to harbor some things. Got to deal honestly with it. If there's some things growing inside and the Lord comes by and puts His finger on it, we need to say, I don't do well, Lord. Not doing well. I don't know how a man can stand before God and tell Him in that kind of arrogant terms, yes, I'm doing all right to be angry. I could never do it. Ponder the path of thy feet and let thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Let me give you one more little counsel before I sit down. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The Lord take care of the rest. Pray for me. I want to go to heaven. And I want to go to heaven with you. And I want to encourage you. If there's any way I can encourage you, I want to encourage you to be faithful to the Lord. To do what's right. Don't let the devil get advantage of you in any way. Because we've got only one shot at this. When we lay this body down, we're going to go meet a righteous God that knows all. Pray for me. I want to make heaven.